ladies, welcome back to the Laughing Mother Project podcast. This evening, I've got beautiful Anna Boardman with me. Welcome, Anna.
Thanks, Tracy.
So let's kick off with the first question. Anna, can you tell us about, well, first of all, you're from New Zealand?
Yes, born and raised, yes.
Okay, cool. I love having Kiwis on the podcast. Yes, thank you for us.
Kia ora.
Beautiful. I haven't got that right yet. Okay, so Anna, can you tell us a little bit about the family you grew up in?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, so I grew up on the North Shore of Auckland. And yeah, mum and dad, two older brothers, a loving family. Like I learned a lot about unconditional love. Yeah, I had a really good childhood, going to school, doing well at school.
What was your mum like?
My mum, very nurturing.
Okay.
Yeah, just the kind of mum that you'd go to school and come home and she's done the home baking and just, you know,
like beautiful.
Just always there.
Oh,
yeah,
lovely.
And my dad was very, very hard worker. You know, at times working two jobs, like when we were younger, just to provide for us. And in the end, we just lived a very comfortable life, but he sacrificed a lot when we were younger just to provide that for us. So I think I learned a lot about being provided for, cared for, and yeah, loved unconditionally.
Beautiful. Yeah. What a great start.
Mm-hmm.
And so did you grow up knowing Jesus, or did you have to come to know him, or how was that journey for you?
Well, I didn't grow up in a Christian family, but I always seemed to have Christians in my life.
Okay.
So when I was at primary school, I had a good friend who would take me along to a Baptist church. And I just remember putting money in the offering and singing, you know, good old songs.
Yes.
And so that was my first introduction to church. And then when I was about 14 or 15, I went on a school trip, like with a music band. And a lot of them were actually Christians, it turned out. And one night we were all sitting around and one of the guys got out their Bible.
Wow.
And read from John 3:16.
Oh!
And it hit me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever should believe in him will not perish but have everlasting life.
Wow. And
it hit me in the heart, like, oh, you know, the sword, you know,
wow,
the word of God. And I just started crying. And my friend next to me said, what's wrong with you? Like,
yes.
She just didn't know what was going on, but it's like I just knew this truth, and I just responded, yeah.
Wow. So did you give your heart to Jesus then, or did you just...
I did. I just, from that day on, it was like,
believed.
Okay, I believed, yeah.
Yo,
yeah.
The power of the
word.
Of the word.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
On a camp.
Yeah.
Not all like in a church,
no.
Just...
No altar call.
I love that.
No salvation prayer, just like, yes. But then after that, I remember getting out my Bible and being at a friend's house and like preaching, like, come on, like, this is God, da da da. And
wow.
I took them along to like the youth church and that kind of thing. I took my group of friends along and they just were not interested. They thought it was lame. They just were not comfortable.
Aww.
There, and I really loved it. I loved going along. I didn't
sorry,
I didn't love that I thought it was lame.
Yeah, but you loved going.
I loved going to it, and I was going to church for a while, but unfortunately, because I was the only one,
yeah,
I couldn't sustain it. But I feel like I'm slipping into like
Yes. Let's first find out now a little bit more about your family. So how did you meet your husband, and tell us about your kids?
Yeah. So Steve and I actually met when we were teenagers. I was 17 and we met at so one of my friends was dating his friend.
Oh yes. Okay.
And so we'd have these like house parties, you know, like drinks and that kind of thing. So this was when I was kind of like, yeah, not doing the church thing, that kind of thing. And so we would have these house parties, we'd go to town and dancing. And so I kind of knew him as an acquaintance then. But then like...
What did you think of him?
honest,
did he catch your eye or not?
He stood out to me in a way, but he would often arrive late and he was very quiet. And I thought, oh, this guy is a bit like quiet and reserved, and he's not really, he's just sitting there having a drink quietly. I found out later on he was always coming from rugby. That day, so he's tired. Because it wasn't
he's not really
that I know.
Quiet.
He's not reserved, he's not quiet. So he was just tired and just, yeah. And I don't think he was interested in the girly nonsense of 17-year-old girls. Like,
yes.
So years went by and I didn't see him because I got new friends after school, you know, like work friends and different groups. And so I didn't see him. And then I ended up back at church. I'm also getting ahead of myself. When I was 21, and a few months later, he turned up at the same church. And I thought, what is he doing at church? He's not a Christian.
Yes.
And, yeah, it turned out that when he was younger, he had been going to that church. He'd also kind of gone on a holiday.
Walkabout.
Yeah, a bit of a walkabout. And then, yeah, we'd end up at the same church. But I think having Steve there, I felt like, oh, I actually do belong at church because I'll fill you in. I'm going to fill you in later why I did not feel like I fit in at a church. But I saw him there and I thought, well, yeah, maybe I do belong at church. It's like someone like me or someone that's kind of maybe
got a shared background
life.
And history.
Yeah, so I just felt it was kind of like a comfort and
Oh, that's actually quite cool.
It is cool. So, yeah.
Do you need to tell us more of the story and then come back to your kids, or do you want to tell us about your kids?
No, that's cool. Yeah, I'll tell. Yeah. So we've got 4 kids. And we've been married for 13 years now, actually nearly 14.
Well done.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah. And we've got 4 kids, Brooke, Romy, Kingsley, and Quinn. So girl, girl, boy, girl. And they are 10, 8, 7, and 5. So very close together, very high energy, all very different, but just like full
Lovely.
Of life and like crazy and amazing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow. I always think people with 4 children, and especially when they're all under 10, you always look so serene and calm. You don't look like you've been rushed around by small children.
I don't know. I think it's like the duck, and then on the, under the water, the little legs go like this. You can't see. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Beautiful. So now let's move on to back onto what you were talking about, how you came to church.
Yeah.
And then you sort of drifted away. So there was obviously a journey that the Holy Spirit was taking you on, or that, you know, I always think like obviously Jesus, he was, you know, pursuing you and looking for you and finding you and bringing you back into the family. So do you want to share how that all happened?
Yeah, that's exactly how I feel about my life, like just the theme of his faithfulness. So yeah, 15, going to youth church, feeling the fire of the Holy Spirit and just like wanting that so much. But then I had some stuff going on at home. I had 2 family members with struggling with mental illness, and I just really, really hit me. I was very, I'm a sensitive kind of type, and it just really weighed me down. And then also I discovered alcohol.
Yes.
at a school production after party, I actually had my first taste of alcohol. And I think because I'd sort of drifted away a bit from God, and then also the family stuff, it was like numbing, escapism, just
and also I suppose an opportunity to be joyful and free and not really feeling like you needed to be
down.
Responsible.
Yeah, exactly. So and
sounds
just
like I'm advertising.
Advertise
the holy one.
Yeah.
A different intoxication.
Yes. Yeah, so and yeah, I just had my first taste and it was like I was hooked on it. And also the sort of binge drinking culture in New Zealand as well. So yeah, I was getting drunk every weekend, and I'd end up just really crying about my family, just really lost, really down, just started to struggle a bit at school. Like, I'd always, like I was going to say before, that I'd achieved at school, it was easy for me, I was doing well, I was doing all the extracurricular stuff. Like, I was just like the nice kind of childhood where you just like, yes, you're good at school, you're good at all these other things, but I just completely lost sight of all those things. Like, and I started like dropping out of my confidence at school, and so I was just I guess I really was just started living for the weekend.
Yes.
Yeah. So I did finish high school, and I did go on to study psychology.
Okay.
So I was still functioning. I was still just doing the best that I could, still like living a life that I felt like, well, you go to high school and then you go to university and that's what I should do. But I was struggling, and so
emotionally.
Yeah, and because I wanted to study psychology, and then I was studying like a paper on mental health, and it just I remember it just hitting really close to home.
Yes.
And actually, yeah, I ended up dropping out for a year because it was just quite hard to do. It was getting too much.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. And so I ended up dropping out, getting a job, meeting some new friends who introduced me to the whole world of recreational drugs.
Okay.
So that was, another way for me to escape my life.
Yes.
To feel joy.
Yes.
And like an elation and connection.
Yes.
And so I got into all that. But I that led me into depression, because I would, I was living for the weekend, and then I was coming down after that high on a Sunday night, feeling terrible, back to reality, and then having to go like back to university and do my tests and all that kind of thing, and still trying to fully function. And then one Easter weekend, I must have been 20, I went to this big dance party that they have every Easter, and I was there. I went to have a good time, take the usual drugs, and then I was sitting outside and there were people everywhere, and I suddenly sobered up.
Wow.
I was just like wide awake.
Yes.
I looked around me and I saw all these lost souls. They weren't having a good time.
Wow.
And I knew I wasn't lost, because God had never left me. Jesus had never left me. And I had to come home to him. Yeah, so I was like, what am I doing here? I know the truth. I need to come back to Jesus. I need to come back to God. So a friend that had been trying to get me to church for a long time, saying, you know, you're living like this and you really need to come back. I finally rang her up and said, okay, I'm ready. And so I came along to church at like a midweek prayer thing, and I walked in, and it's raining tonight. I don't know if you'll be able to hear this on the interview, but it's pouring with rain right now.
Yes.
And I walked into the building and let it rain was pouring.
Wow.
Pouring down. The song was playing.
Yes. But
I just started weeping and weeping and weeping.
Wow.
Like, absolutely weeping. And then I went down the front afterwards, and someone prayed with me. And I just felt the weight of all that sin, all that burden that I'd been carrying for my family and my life, and just all the things that I had been up to, lifted off my shoulders.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so from then on, you've been free.
Well, I would have to say there are levels, like there's so much more freedom that I'm experiencing.
Yes. That's what I just love about you. There's always more freedom.
But the most amazing thing was that I remember going to a youth event after that and getting so wrecked. Like, I'd never ever experienced it. And because there are certain drugs that you can take that mimic, like, it's like, yes. endorphins, yes. And you feel like this amazing love, and everyone loves each other, and everything is, you know, joy, yes, like amazing, yes. But it's fake,
yes,
and it's temporary, and it's like the counterfeit. I felt like the real deal,
wow,
presence of God, and I was like wasted in the spirit. Going around going, God is like just telling everyone, like just on the clouds, like I was up, yes, in the clouds. And it was just like, God was like, you were looking for this. Like, here I that am. Yeah.
Beautiful. Yes. Like, so now how, like, do you find that, like, how do you maintain that feeling? Because obviously you spoke earlier on about the fact that, like, say you used to maybe take the recreational drugs on the weekend and then have a downer, and then obviously you'd want to go and experience it again. So now, yeah, as a Christian as well, mm, we a lot of people have that experience initially, yes,
mm,
and then how do you maintain that feeling of the presence of God? How do you practice that? What do you do? Because I think that a lot of people maybe had that experience, mm, that first encounter, but then, yeah, for some reason they don't walk in the fullness of it, and they don't have a daily,
yeah,
experience of it. How do you maintain that?
That's a good question. It's really good. Yeah. I've got an answer. Yeah. No. So I remember when I was just like, blah, 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 Jesus, oh my gosh, amazing, he loves me so much. I remember sharing that with somebody, and they said, oh yeah, that's what it's like, you know, when you're first,
yes, that's like honeymoon.
Yeah, it'll kind of wear off.
Yes.
That is a lie.
Amen.
Honestly, such a lie. But what happened was, I had that ecstatic joy and love. But what happened was religion,
yes,
took hold.
Mm.
Just the environment that I was in, stepping into works, not feeling good enough. And yes, it killed the romance. Right?
So explain that. Would you say that? Because we're talking to ladies. I think that what happens with that, because I can relate.
Yeah, you can relate.
I can. No, because I was going to say, I think it's a case of from being a bride to being the wife.
Right. Yes.
You know, like, yeah, actually,
you're washing the undies. Yeah.
If, yeah, it becomes, you should always be, you should always maintain that romance,
yes,
and that
the
love
freshness.
And the freshness, yeah, yes.
Yeah.
But if you become too about, like, it's that Mary and Martha thing, if you become too about, like, the works and,
yes,
you know, it, yeah, can even come from a good place. Because explain what you would understand as being religion. Because, like, what do you think, people who are listening,
yeah,
may think when we're saying religion, we're actually talking about a religion.
Yes.
But yeah, can you be religious and be a Christian?
Yes. So I guess it's relationship with, yes, God, and not like a man-made religion where Jesus has set you free and then now you're getting enslaved again, you know,
yes,
into,
yes,
yeah, like a type of bondage. So 6 years ago, sorry, we moved into a house, and the street number was 155.
Yes.
Living in that house, Steve and I went through the hardest time of our lives. Like, God literally just undid us and undid everything, all for his goodness and his glory, yes, and his purpose. But actually, I see significance in a lot of things, even numbers. And so 155, John 15:5.
Yes.
Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Abide in me and I in you, and I will produce the fruit.
Wow. Yeah.
Aside from me, you can do nothing. So religion,
that's so good,
is anything that takes you away from that union with him, that oneness.
So good, Anna.
Yeah. Because when I was a kid, I was doing well at school, I was achieving things, and then I lost sight of that. My life was not fruitful at all. You know, it was just completely not fruitful. And then I came to church, and then I found that I was feeling like I need to be doing all these works, but I'm more of a Mary, like I want to sit at the feet of Jesus. Like I come back to God and had this like encounter of first, you know, that first love, that passion. Mm. So I didn't feel good enough. Like I just felt like I wasn't achieving the Christian goals, you know? Like I just felt like the weight of not being fruitful. I was feeling the weight of all those years of like regret of the things I'd given up that I was good at when I was a teenager, and then coming and just feeling like I couldn't keep up with, it was exhausting, you know, trying to do all these Christian things. And that revelation changed my life because it's out of rest.
Yes.
Resting, abiding.
Yes. Mm. You know what? I love what you're saying there, because I think it's natural to default into works.
Yeah.
And the scripture that says that we should strive to enter the rest of God. Like, it's actually, that's the striving. It's to remain in rest.
Yes, because it's a challenge.
It's actually a challenge not to want to get busy. And I think that, like, now this is a question. Does that mean that you shouldn't, like, if you get asked to serve at church, that is works? What do you think about that? How would somebody know?
Yeah.
How should they take that?
Well, it should come out of the overflow.
Yes.
Serving should come out of the overflow. You can't give what you don't have.
I love it.
Yeah.
So love how do you
God,
get?
Love God. Love your neighbor as yourself. How are you loving yourself if you are giving, 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 and you are just like falling apart on the inside?
Yes.
Yeah. Love God, love yourself. How do you love God? You know, I mean, you've got to know him. He's got to know you. You've got to be in union with him, really.
Yes.
You don't love from a distance. You can't love a love like a stranger. It's a love. It's a
intimate.
Yeah, it's an intimate thing. And since I have had that revelation, it's like my life has started blooming.
Yes, because I can see you just always look like you're blooming.
Thank you. But it's true. Okay, when I was like in my late teens, I was like, I'm never going to be a mum. Like, I just didn't grow. Okay, I've got four kids, you think. that girl that like always wanted kids. And I just, growing up, I didn't really think about having kids. I even said I don't want kids. I fell into motherhood.
Really?
I really did. Yeah. I don't know. Wow. Yeah. Like, I'm so grateful. And I just, like, I never read any parenting books. I just kind of fell into motherhood, and I'm kind of just doing my thing. And
but that's actually really cool for people listening, because I think that, like, because this is mainly to mothers. I think that that's the biggest thing, is that you sometimes feel like you have to do things right, and that there's all this comparison with how other people do things. Mm-hmm. And I love what you're saying there, because even coming back to that scripture that you spoke about with being in the vine and the fruitfulness, and your children are obviously fruit of your marriage.
Mm.
And, you know, fruit can't be produced because of works. It just happens because of, I mean, if I think of even in the natural, like there's soil and there's the sunshine, there's all these things that a plant needs, and all of those things it receives from the posture of receiving.
That's right. Yeah.
You know, so and to me, it kind of makes me think that then obviously we'll be a better mother the more we just practice receiving the power of God and receiving wisdom and knowledge and joy and strength. And as we receive it, like you're saying, then it begins to flow out.
Yeah. It took a lot of pressure off me as a mum when I had that revelation, because it feels like a lot of pressure sometimes as a mother, right? Because you want to do right by your kids and you feel like you're so responsible for them, but you know, you are stewarding them.
Yes.
But you shouldn't ever feel like a striving.
Yes.
And for me, in terms of like God and them experiencing Jesus, I give them the opportunity to just be in his presence. So just
like
cultivating his presence, the Holy Spirit in the house, you know, that coming along to church and just being around, experiencing people, you know. My eldest daughter, she wanted to be on the welcome team, so she'll just stand on the welcome team. She wants to go down and like stand with people and pray for them, you know, and just letting them go. My other daughter would be really nervous and shy. She wouldn't want to go down and get prayer or anything. But now she does, like she's journeyed and she hears from God. She has dreams from God.
Wow.
She's prophetic. Like not forcing them and not pressuring them. Like letting them develop a hunger by being around,
beautiful,
around the presence of God and the Word of God. Yeah.
Beautiful.
Not forcing it.
Beautiful.
Yeah, just offering it. Like,
yes.
Here's a cake. Would you like a piece? You know?
Yes. Yes.
Does it look good? Does it taste, you know?
Taste and see.
Have a taste. Yeah.
The Lord is good.
Yeah.
That's so good.
Yeah.
And now, tell me, like, what do you feel that you, like, I don't know how to explain this. It's kind of, I want to know how do you remain a child of God? Like, do you have to keep on reminding yourself to be a child, or do you find that quite easy? I'm talking about like finances,
yes,
provision,
yeah,
all these things, you know? Because sometimes we also get grown up in,
yes,
in that regard.
Yeah. So I think part of what I was saying when I was younger, you know, that provision.
Yes.
And because finances is huge, and I think that does,
yes,
shape the way,
yes,
you even can see God, the Father. It might be easier for me just because of what I experienced growing,
yes,
up.
Yes.
And not,
yes,
having to worry. But I guess maybe on the flip side of worrying about like my family and that kind of,
yes,
thing, and missing out on maybe some of that childhood,
yes,
kind of carefreeness, is just that side of things would be more something I've had,
yes,
to overcome. Joy, like I've contended for joy, I've fought for joy. I used to be miserable, like so we moved churches, and then at this new church I would come down the front and I'd just be so full of grief and quite miserable, just what we were going through. And I never thought I'd be like that joyful person, but I had this breakthrough encounter where the oil of joy just came. And ever since then, it's like just joy, joy, joy. And so it's like playing the music at home, you know, and dancing,
yes,
with the kids, and just,
yes,
letting them see me being free. And my second daughter, who I was talking about, and she's very wise, and she'll say, oh, Mum, you know, you're looking really worried or serious. And she's the kind of one that checks
up on you.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah. And she'll kind of be like, Mum, you know. And I'm like, oh gosh, you know, it's kind of like, oh yes, I am getting a bit too serious or worried about something. And it's like, okay, step into joy, put that worship,
yes,
music on, and
yes,
let it go. Yeah.
Yes. And so now, oh, I'm enjoying this. I feel like there's so many other things I want to ask you. So now, practically, like, how, if people feel like they are stressed out,
mm-hmm,
and they are full of worry and just anxiety, but they go to church and they're not really sure how to be free and how to enjoy this joy,
mm-hmm,
and this amazing, like, that the honeymoon hasn't stopped for,
mm-hmm,
you, How do you suggest that they encounter God? Like, do you journal? Do you, like, what do you do that could maybe be a little bit of advice on how to keep that?
I think part of it is when you journey through something and come out the other side, it's kind of like,
yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
You know, so like the virgins, the three wise and the three foolish, it's, you know, the three wise had their oil because they spent that time with God, and it's so precious. So it's really, it's something between you and God that you really
make the time
pursue. And it's precious. Like, it often comes out of like hardship and hard times. So I think in times of hardship, pressing in to God, and there's things that we've gone through, or Steve and I have gone through, that, I mean, I encountered the Father in the hardest years of my life. I knew the Holy Spirit. I knew Jesus, obviously, as the Saviour. I knew the Holy Spirit. But I didn't know the Father. And, you know, the orphan mindset. So part of the key was actually, you need to know the Father, the full Trinity.
So how would you describe that?
Because the Father and the Son together have joy.
Yes.
They have this joy relationship. And then when we are saved, we're invited into that same joy.
Wow.
It's like a dance. It's like
And you're a dancer.
I grew up dancing, so
Yes. Okay, so you're invited into that joy.
Yeah. So
what do you mean?
So the Father and Son love each other so much that it's like an indescribable joy. And we're invited into that. It's like it's a relationship. So I think, how do we experience that joy is to realize that you are invited.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? And that there's joy for you. So not feeling like you can't have joy, or it's not for you to have joy.
Yes.
Like, God is saying yes.
Yes.
And he delights in you.
Yes.
He wants to spend time with you.
Yes.
So being with him.
Beautiful.
That's a short answer.
But
being with him, just sitting and getting to know him and the way he speaks to you. Delighting yourself in the little things, like noticing.
Yes.
Like the Holy Spirit. Just a little love notes, and you know what I mean? Like just little things that you notice that God's speaking to you.
Yes.
Through.
I love it.
In the day to day. Yeah.
Yes. I think, you know, like you're saying, people can relate to Jesus because he's human.
Mm.
And then the Holy Spirit, it's everything powerful that happens, we can assign to understanding that there is the presence of the Holy Spirit. But like you're saying about the Father, I think that a lot of people see God as being judgmental and maybe feeling like they don't measure up to. And I think also it may come from the explanation where people always say, well, God was so holy, so he couldn't look at us. And then Jesus had to come and reconcile us to the Father.
Mm-hmm.
But it kind of makes us feel like we are so unworthy of the love of God.
Yes.
And Jesus, so we love Jesus because he made a way for us to be reconciled. But I love what you're touching on there, because I think that it is important to understand the Father, and I personally am on a bit of a journey with that as well, because I think that we can understand, but then sometimes you can forget and revert back to thinking things that are not who yeah. God is.
Yeah.
So I think that a practical thing for me, what I do is I just put on worship music, but then I ask the Lord, I actually go to the lie. Like I think, what am I thinking of? Or like what makes me irritated? Or what what causes a reaction in me that's bigger than what it needs to be? The proportion of like fear or being miserable or irritation or frustration is bigger than, you know, like sometimes you get triggered by something. And then I think, oh, that's obviously an area that I can invite God to bring revelation into because that's where a lie is happening. Because there should be joy. There should be righteousness, peace, and joy. So if there's no joy there, that's where he's got to come. But I think if you're going to bottle it up and just act like, let me go and, I don't know, serve at church, serve tea and coffee and just continue being a good Christian, you'll never actually really know God because you're not prepared to go to those areas in yourself where you actually need to encounter him and meet him.
Exactly, because he's like, it's like there's rooms in your heart, so it's like some of those places don't know the goodness of God. Like
yes.
It's too, yeah, there's a lie there, or it's too painful, or you don't want God to see
yes.
that part of you, so you're really
yes.
missing out on that healing journey. That
yes,
yeah, because part of my story is just for years just struggling with all the inner stuff and not understanding that I was a daughter and not having that kind of healing and adoption. Like
yes.
knowing God as a father and then realize like that spirit of adoption
yes.
that comes on you, and that's when you stop striving.
Yes.
Because, yeah.
Yes.
And I remember it wasn't until I met the Father that I stopped the whole, oh, I feel like I'm close to Jesus and now I'm kind of a bit away and I feel in and out.
Yes.
Like there's a scripture about you'll go in and out no more, but you will.
Yes.
Like, I don't
yes.
come to the end of it, but it's like you can be in God's presence all the time. And the key for me was knowing the Father,
yes.
knowing that I'm a daughter, and
yes.
so you're not disappointing, and then you're suddenly,
yes.
you can't be close to God. It's, yeah.
Yes, yes.
If that makes sense.
And you know, it's just, for me, it's so amazing how, because we want to mother and father well ourselves, but we need to be children of God. We need to experience him as a father in order to do that well.
Mm.
Oh, my word. Makes me want to go and sit and God,
yeah.
just reveal yourself. Yeah, it's so good. So Anna, is there anything that you feel that, like if I had to ask you, what is the most amazing thing for you about your relationship with God? What do you think you'd answer? Just the last question. There's lots of things. So it's like
there's so many. I mean, that he has loved me with an everlasting love.
Beautiful.
That's like, that in
yes.
itself is just,
yeah.
There's so much. Yeah. It's so much weight just on that.
It is. It is. He's loved you
yeah.
with an everlasting. He's loved.
Yeah.
And that love like chases after us.
Yeah. But I think a huge thing for me is just the fruitfulness that I'm starting to see in my life because of him. And so he loves us unconditionally, but he also calls us forward and
yes.
into maturity, like mature sons and daughters. And I just see his hand on my life, and I can only give him glory because of he's
yes.
been so faithful to me all these years.
Yes.
And yeah, I feel like he's bringing back around who I am and those things that he did put in me and that were there as a child, but on the right foundation.
Beautiful.
And not getting lost in motherhood, you know, but actually...
Yes.
Just being fruitful in other areas of my life.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting to me that you've brought that up because that was like going to be my last question, but I hope you don't mind. This is, it's like a little bit weird because when you're recording, but then I just really feel on this whole thing from the time when you first spoke about that scripture that like you, that there might be people listening who are Christians, but I just think of how like sometimes, you know, if you don't allow a field to rest and it just gets overworked and it loses its nutrients.
Yeah.
And
are you talking about babies and breastfeeding? 'Cause yeah, that sounds really familiar. Yeah, mama needs a rest.
Yeah. So I'm just thinking that like there might maybe if you, I don't know if you would mind just praying for us, just for anybody who might feel, because I feel like you've got a gift of praying for fruitfulness as well. It might even be people that actually have been trying to conceive that haven't, that can't conceive.
I'd love to pray for that.
Or even, I don't know, anything, but like just for that intoxicated, being completely loved. Yeah, because I think you've got that gift of, of just being able to release people from heaviness and that. Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You are the foundation of our lives. I thank you, Jesus, that you've called us to be rooted and grounded in love. And I just pray for every person listening right now. I just impart presence, the Holy Spirit. It's a revelation of love and joy and rest.
Yes.
I just pray for anyone that's just feeling burdened, that the burdens would lift off and joy would enter in. I just declare fruitfulness in every situation. I just impart hope into every person that feels like their life is fruitless or barren. I speak fruitfulness.
In Jesus' name.
And I just pray for anyone struggling to conceive. I speak life. I speak fruitfulness into your womb, the gift of life. I just declare a cease from striving. We enter into your rest, Jesus. We enter into your rest where we can know you and you can know us. Outside of you, we can do nothing. Thank you, Jesus, that you will produce the fruit in our lives, and that fruit will remain.
Amen. Thank you, Anna.
You're welcome.
Beautiful. Ladies, I just loved spending time with Anna. Anna is just an incredible human being who's really down to earth and so relatable. And I just felt that while she was talking and just listening to this podcast again before posting it, that there is an invitation in her story to go to the banqueting table of the Lord. You know, we should actually feel that we miss those times of intimacy if they go too long, that we need to make appointments to go to the banqueting table of God, where a divine exchange can happen, where we can give him all our cares and our worries and receive from him, from his glorious presence, we can receive strength and joy and love and peace. And he can give us beauty. He can give us a garment of praise. He can crown our heads with his faithfulness and loving kindness. And he can give us new ways of looking and at things in our lives. Yes, so let's make time to sit at the banqueting table with Jesus, the lover of our soul, and let him show us that his banner over us is love. Until next time, friends, keep laughing at the days to come.